Now, we're going to understand more, I hope, about what happened when Jesus rose from the dead. And to do that, we're going to actually look at part of the Bible that happened just before Jesus died and rose again. Something that was a sort of foreshadowing of what was going to come. And Heather is going to come and read to us now the passage that we're going to be thinking about.
We're looking at John chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. The context is that that Lazarus, Jesus' friend, had died, and a few days afterwards, Jesus went to Mary and Martha, his sisters, to comfort them. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world."
Thank you, Heather. Now, when we've been looking in our sermons and in the Bible studies, we've been looking at an ancient document called the Apostles' Creed that lays out all the important things that Christians believe. And it so happens, not quite by chance, that we've arrived at a really important section of that today, which is the resurrection from the dead. You can remind us of that. That's what we're looking at, a resurrection from the dead. We've nearly finished, and a happy coincidence not, that it's here on Easter Day. We'll be thinking about this a bit more next week, and about the final thought about eternal life. So if this tantalizes your taste buds, come back next week to hear some more. But this passage we've looked at will help us to understand the main point that we're trying to get across today. So if we can put that across, please, Simon, just remind us of what we've just heard. Oh, I've got the thing, haven't I? Yep, my mistake. Bear with me. There we go. I switched it off. There we go. So this is what we are looking at. Martha said, "I know that my brother will rise on the last day." And Jesus has said to her, "I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though he dies." Now I wonder what he was talking about. Well, I've got some illustrations to help us, I hope. So you can stop doing your handout, whatever it is, and look at me. There's one lot. And Melissa helped me collect. And here's some others. They look a bit droopy, don't they? Oh well, never mind. Comes with being falling over in the car on the way here, which didn't do them much good. Okay, so we have two sets of flowers. First of all, this one here. Does anybody know what kind of flower this is? Anybody know what this is? We have a lot in the woods near us. Do you know what it is? It's a bluebell, isn't it? I'm told they're poisonous, so no nibbling. Okay, and wash your hands afterwards. How would you describe it? How does it look? What word would you use? Blue, good, yes. So nice. Yeah? It's very beautiful, isn't it? I'd better just check what I'm saying here. Okay. It's a very beautiful flower, the bluebell, and the woods are gorgeous when they're covered with these things. But what is happening to this flower? What's happening to it? Growing? Good guess, but wrong. The opposite of growing, isn't it? Yeah? Dying, is that what you said? Yeah, thank you. Great. That flower is dying, isn't it? However beautiful it is, it's dying. Can you see why? It's been cut off, hasn't it? So although it looks beautiful for a while, it's going to die. What sort of things can we do to try to help this flower? What are the possibilities? Any children want to answer before I... yes, at the back there. Give it some water. That's right, we can give it some water. That could help, couldn't it? Make it last longer. Can you think of anything else we might do? Yep. Pardon? Plant it out in the garden. You think that would help, do you? You maybe. Well, see, there's stuff you can sprinkle in, can't you? I don't know what it is, whether it works. You can feed it. That might help it to grow a bit more. Does it help to keep it hot or cold? Cold, I think. Yeah, put it in the fridge. The freezer. But whatever we do, however hard we try to keep this little flower going, it won't last, will it? In the end, it will die. What use is this flower next year? The answer is none at all. Just a little bit of compost, isn't it? Yeah? So we have these nice flowers, but not for long. Okay then. Now, these don't look so good, I freely admit. Let's imagine that they're pert and lively. What's happening to these flowers? Yes. Well, they are dying in the end, yes, yes, but what is happening to them now? Yes, Sonny.
They're trying to grow.
They're trying to grow. Okay, what's different about these flowers compared to those ones? Yes, Tommy. They're growing more, yeah? They're in water, yeah? Johnny? They're not in water, no, that's right. They're in soil here, that's right. Yeah, what are you going to say, mate? They're in soil, that's right. And what will happen if I get my hands dirty? See if I can find one. I've obviously packed these quite well. With apologies to our cleaners. Ah, you see the difference now, don't you? This one has no... What do you call this?
Bulb.
A bulb, that's right. And the bulb is the source of its life, isn't it? So, the difference between these flowers is not that this one will die and this one won't die. We know that both of these flowers are going to die, don't we? But this plant here has still got the life in it, hasn't it? It's still got life in it. And that means that next year, this will be nothing but a little tiny bit of compost, whereas this will be a fresh, new flower bursting with life, won't it? Because it is connected to the source of life. Now that helps us to understand a little bit about what Jesus was saying. You see, sadly, many of us live our lives like this, don't we? Yeah? We have our beauty. We have our flower, we flower for a while, but the time comes when it wilts and fails and comes to nothing. And that's what life is like so much of the time. A reason for that is, well, we have no source for our life in a spiritual sense, cut off from it. What was different about Jesus was that Jesus had life in him. The same life that he used at the very start of the creation to bring life to the world was alive in him. And that meant that when he was cut off for a while, that life would burst forth again in the resurrection. There was something different and something special about the Lord Jesus Christ. So the story of Easter is something like this. The story of Easter is that what happened to us happened to Jesus on the cross, so that through faith, what happened to Jesus in the tomb could happen to us. You see the difference? The swap, if you like. What happened to Jesus on the cross that should have happened to us, instead, what happened to Jesus in the tomb can happen to us. That, I think, is an amazing thought. I think that is absolutely incredible. I think that is worth thinking some more about, which we're going to be doing next week. So come back next week if you want to find out more about the resurrection. How can it be? It wasn't just a temporary thing, but a permanent thing. But I really think that's amazing. Now, do you find that easy to believe? Hands up who find it easy to believe. I can't see any hands up. Isn't that strange? The most important thing for the Christian faith, the thing that really stands by, is hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to believe that something dead could come alive again all by itself. And there's a reason why it does seem so hard. That's because we spend all our lives, every single moment of our lives, completely surrounded with this kind of life. That's the norm for us all the time, isn't it? Every single moment of the day, that is our experience. It's trained into us. We are taught to think that way. Each thing has its time and flowers, and then it will be gone. That is the normal thing that we are used to. And we have got no other experiences to compare it to. Let me just make this point very clearly. We've seen what will happen to these flowers. They'll be gone within a few days, probably. Even these will be, won't they? And in the end, as someone helpfully pointed out, even the plants that these bulbs will die out in the end, won't they? Here are some other pictures. How long will these things last? Look up, boys. Okay, that's a picture, an artist's impression of what happened later in the story we've told. A man wrapped in clothes came out of the tomb. What happened to Lazarus in the end? Did he live forever? No, he didn't. He was given a new lease of life. He had he was resuscitated for a short while, but in the end, Lazarus died like everyone else. What Jesus did for him was just a sign, you see. And the same goes for all people, doesn't it? Doesn't matter how healthy and fit we are, one day in the end, we end up in the same place as Lazarus. Okay, so let's extend our lifespan a bit. How old might this gentleman here be? How old do you think he might be? Any guesses? Yes. 150. Always a mere youngster at 150. A mere youngster, maybe middle-aged, yes? 13? No. Yes, Wes? 300. Wesley tells me, anyway, he's the expert on these things, that these giant tortoises can live to 300 years. But what will happen to him in the end? Yep, that's right. Even giant tortoises, I'm afraid, the longest laughing creature. Okay, well, let's go for it then. Let's go for the longest living creatures that we can think of here. Okay, on the right-hand side, we have some of the largest whole trees, if you like. Those are giant redwoods. The oldest giant redwood we know of is about 3,300, 400 years old. That's quite incredible, isn't it? But what will happen to those giant redwoods in the end? Sorry? I didn't hear you. They'll collapse and die. Yes, they don't die of old age, but they die when they get struck by lightning in the end. That's what will happen to them. That means they don't last forever. On the left-hand side is the oldest tree in this country. It's a yew tree, and it's been dated between 4,000 and 6,000 years old, which is even older. But when you look closely, the bit in the middle has died out, and these are the sort of new bits that have grown up around it. Even so, what will happen to this yew tree in the end? Well, that's right, the same thing happens. Oh, what about this? Okay, let's go for it. Mount Everest. A million years up. Higher. Exactly. Well done. If Mount Everest continues to erode at the same rate as it's eroding now with nothing else happening, in 85 million years, give or take five, we'll be gone. Mount Everest will be dead. Okay? Okay, well, let's go for it, Michael, about planet Earth. All this life on it now, how long do you reckon? Maybe 5 million years, I don't know, isn't that billion years? If nothing else happened, is the point I'm so making here. In the end, planet Earth would be absorbed by our sun and cooked away. Okay, if nothing else happened, what would happen to our sun? Well, they say that if nothing else happened, 10 billion years, and our sun will be cold and dead. What about the universe? Well, they say if nothing else happens, then 50 billion, billion years, it will be black and dead. But you get my point, don't you? We live surrounded in a world where there is this power that can destroy everything. Except now it is different. Can you see? It's different. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? That's what Jesus said. That's a hard thing to believe. But it's really hard to believe that everything will differ. It's really hard to think that every single person will be different. All you have to believe is that it was different for one man at one place at one time. That's where you start. You believe that things were different for this one man in one place at one time because he was the Son of God and he rose from the dead. Do you see the difference? Hard to believe, perhaps impossible to believe, that everything is going to be different one day. But it is possible to believe that one man, in one place, at one time, rose from the dead, and that changes everything. That is the wonderful truth that we celebrate together here this Easter time. I hope you want to find out some more about it, but in the meantime, let's stand together and sing again, "In the tomb, so cold they laid him." So the big question for us is, how can we be connected to the source of life, life that lasts forever in Jesus Christ? And the Bible tells us that that connection is made through repentance and faith. It's made from turning away from one kind of life, one kind of living, and putting your faith and your trust in Jesus. There's no magic. There's no magic words I'm going to say when I baptize a friend. There's no magic power in the water or anything like that. It's not that kind of thing at all. It's faith. Because we have that unique relationship that God gives us with Jesus, we can share in Jesus' life and destiny. Our sins are forgiven and his life lives in us. So our baptisms this morning are going to be good demonstrations and signs of that great truth. Baptism is like a wash, I suppose, washing away the dirt of the past and giving us a fresh new start in life. Or we can think of it perhaps as dying with Jesus, which is when you go under the water, figuratively speaking, and then rising again as you are raised out of the water. And it shows that by faith, that's what's happened to our friends who are being baptized now. So it's a picture on the outside of what God has been doing on the inside in their hearts. It's a wonderful thing. Now, it's very good for us to actually hear people's stories about how this has happened. And so our first candidate, Penny Godwin, has actually recorded her testimony, and it's going to be on the screen now.
I'm here to tell you about my amazing journey with God. I'm here today with Hope and Joseph, my son and daughter, Hope who's 12 and Joseph who's 8, and their dad, Steve. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my life before coming to meet with God. I, for many, many years, struggled with alcohol, abused alcohol for many years, which came with a lot of difficulties through my life. Looking back now over the many years of problems that I had, I believed at the time that somebody was looking over me, because there's been so many times that I've been so close to death and got through many traumatic times where I realistically shouldn't be here. But now I know, from becoming a Christian, it was God looking out for me, and it wasn't my time. In February 2013, I was seeing a counsellor for my drinking problems, and what comes with drinking problems is debt. And she introduced me to, or put me in contact with, Julia Morris and Chris Murphy from CAPS, and that was the beginning of my recovery and my journey with God. After meeting Julia and Chris, I started to come to Surrey Chapel in Elink on a Tuesday afternoon, and over the months began to realise I wanted to be a part of that and be a part of God's family. And I would pray that I would one day feel that I was. And one Tuesday afternoon in Elink, the study was about Christianity and becoming a Christian. And at the end of that group, Tom said a prayer about believing and being part of that. As Tom was saying his prayer, I closed my eyes, which is something I wouldn't normally do when praying, and I closed my eyes and I prayed. Tom prayed the prayer that I felt that I wanted to say to God, and how I wanted to feel, and it felt completely right. It was the right time, the right moment, and I'm pleased to say that day I became a Christian and now feel part of the family. Since becoming a Christian, I found my life has changed quite dramatically in a way that I have been doing so much more confidently, things that I wouldn't normally do. And I've many times been put in a situation where I may have relapsed, that of course, things that have caused distress where I would have normally drank. And now I've got through with the help of God and the help of praying and the help of other people praying for me. In late 2001, I was given a verse, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, which led me to give my daughter the name she has now, which is Hope. And the verse reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope." I'd forgotten about this up until early on in meeting Julia and Chris. Soon after I'd met them, Julia sent me a text message with that verse on. And then soon after becoming a Christian, I received the same verse again in the post from Kat's head office. And it's just my verse.
It's one of the team from Kat, from Innerlink, and so Sanchez is going to come and pray for Penny now.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank you. We give you all the glory and all the praise for the work that you have done in Penny's life. We thank you that she is precious in your sight, that you have called and chosen her to be a praise to you. You have given her a verse that will be burned into her heart and into her spirit to say that you have plans, indeed you have, that she may glorify you in all that she does. And Lord, we have already seen this. So Father, we pray that in the times of darkness that come to us all, she will know that your everlasting arms are underneath her. That she will know that you are covered, that she's under your wing. That she will know always that she is indeed part of a family. A family that love and accept her. A family where she can come to find help when needed. Yet she also knows that she can call on you day or night. You are her strength. Her stronghold. You are her deliverer. You are her all in all. So Father, today we thank you and bless you for what you have done. We praise and give glory to you, for you are indeed the God of resurrection. So Father, we thank you for Penny's resurrected life. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen.
And the next hymn is Penny's Choice. Let's stand and sing Amazing Grace. Amen. Please take your seats now then. Our second, we have two candidates to be baptized. Another Penny. I've resisted all attempts to make jokes about two pennies in the pool and that kind of thing. And her husband, Charlie. And they're going to share their testimony with us now as well.
Hello. We became Christians 11 years ago. I was 40 and Charlie was 45. My family didn't go to church. My parents taught me that there wasn't a God. But if there was a God, he wasn't doing a very good job at all when you looked at the state of our world. So he really wasn't worth considering. We didn't have any Christians in our family, no Christian friends, and I really loved my parents and I believed them.
I had gone to church with my parents, but when I was 16, my dad left my mum. And he left the church. I was at boarding school. And I was really hard time. I knew that there was a God, and I believed he was a power for good. But I didn't know him personally, and I didn't know about Jesus.
The wife of a work colleague died unexpectedly. She was only 60. She was a Christian, and her funeral was at Christ Church in Lowestoft. I'd never been to a Christian funeral, and it was really different. Despite the really deep sadness, there was genuine hope, lots of talk about God as a loving father and Jesus as a rescuer. I told Charlie about it and we started to go along to find out more for ourselves, and our three children, who were then 12, 15 and 16, came along to find out too.
We were all made really welcome and heard the Bible explained week by week in a clear and understanding way. Penny and I went to Christianity Explored and asked lots of questions, and that we heard made sense. I was really struck that the Bible is a historically true book written over 1600 years with over 40 authors from different cultures and languages. And yet is its consistent message and is full of God's love for his people and his promise to them in Jesus.
Although we accepted the Bible was true and believed that Jesus loved us, and like Penny we prayed the prayer, we did keep struggling with worries that our response wasn't good enough and that we had to get things right ourselves in order to be real Christians. But we did eventually realise that Jesus had done everything for us. He had died because we could never get ourselves right. God loves us so much that when we were far away, doing just as we pleased, ignoring him, he had a plan documented in detail in the Bible to rescue his people because of our sins, and that nothing was too big or too small for him. We weren't baptised when we became Christians because the Church of England don't baptise adults who were christened as babies, which we were. But Jesus does teach us to repent and be baptised, and we are really pleased to be baptised now to declare to you our love and gratitude to Jesus. We do believe, trust and love him, and we want to follow him with his help day by day, being changed, growing in our faith and hope and love.
We sadly have lots of bad habits, sins, some learned over many years and some new ones. We are every day so grateful to God for his forgiveness. We thank God so much for his great love for us all, that he sent Jesus to get us right when we are clearly going wrong, and when we can call God our Father and Jesus our friend and can talk to him about everything. We thank him for Surrey Chapel, for welcoming us, for friendship, great teaching and the opportunity to love and serve others. Amen.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we're so thrilled to be here this morning, and we wonder and are amazed at your resurrection and what it means to us, and the incredible things we've been singing about and hearing about. And Lord, as we're amazed as well and so thankful to you that you've brought Penny and Charlie to us, but more than that, you brought them to yourself. We praise you, Lord, that as we heard so graphically, you can take hold of lives and change them radically. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that as they come to baptism, symbolically they're going to go through that death and resurrection that Jesus went through. We praise you, Father, that this is true for us all. And we pray particularly though now for Penny and Charlie as they go into this next week, next month, in the days to come, that you'll support them. You'll give them that real live assurance of your presence with them, that they will rejoice and have great joy in living out their Christian life. We pray, Lord, as we, as fellow believers, look on them and take an example from their enthusiasm and their joy, that you'll help us too. And Lord, those around them who don't believe in you, Father, we do pray that you will inspire people when they see the way they live their lives as resurrected Christians. Father, it's with great joy that we celebrate this morning, and we commit them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Charlie, do you confess that you have turned from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Saviour and your Lord?
I do.
And do you promise, depending upon God's grace, to serve him faithfully in his church for the rest of your life?
I will.
Then, Charlie, and your confession of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Penny, do you confess that you have turned from your sin and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
And do you promise, depending upon God's grace, to serve him faithfully in his church for the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Then, Penny, on your profession of repentance and faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Penny, do you confess that you have turned from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
And do you promise, depending upon His grace, to serve Him faithfully in His church for the rest of your life?
I do.
Then, Penny, on your confession of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, here is water. Why shouldn't you be connected with the source of life through faith in Jesus? If you believe, you may be baptized. Indeed, next Sunday you may be baptized, as we have another baptism planned for that day. So, if the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you and you want to know Him, please come and talk to one of us here at the church. But now I'd invite you to stand and sing our closing hymn, Thine Be the Glory.
Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank You that Jesus has conquered death, and through Him we may know life. Thank You, Lord, for this morning, for the privilege of seeing Penny and Charlie and Penny baptized. Father, we thank You for them, and we pray Your blessing upon them in these coming days. Protect them and keep them, Lord. We pray for ourselves, Lord, for those who know You. Father, we thank You for Your saving grace. And we pray that You will watch over and protect us and draw us closer to You. And Father, for those who don't know You, Father, we pray that You will now work in their hearts by Your Holy Spirit. Father, be a life changer for each one of us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. And our final prayer is on the screen. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And let's say together, may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Do stay after the service if you can, and enjoy a cup of tea and coffee with us.